This podcast is brought to you by Shank It Golf. Shank It Golf was born out of a collective love for fairways and a desire to break away from the traditional norms of the golf world. Shank It believes that golf is not just a sport, it's a lifestyle, an experience, and most importantly, it's meant to be enjoyed. The founders and us avid golfers are seizing on the opportunity to inject a fresh, vibrant spirit into the golfing community, making it appealing to both seasoned players and newcomers alike. Visit shankitgolf.com to check out their collection of everything from Q-zips, polos, performance hats, and even putters. Make sure to use code 4CHECK, that's 4CHECK with the number 4, for 15% off your order. Trust us, this is good quality stuff, so go check it out. Welcome back to a freshly squeezed episode of Fairway 4Checks. Yes, you heard that correctly. We have rebranded and are moving on to bigger and better things, more interviews with different people in the hockey and golf world, more content, including eventually dropping some golf videos and an official apparel line this summer. We as a podcast are very excited for what the future holds. So it was just something collectively, you know, I texted the group one day and I said, you know, we're kind of stuck. We need to take a step back and look at what we're doing and how we're doing it to see if we can really get this thing to grow. Because when, you know, I originally started this or had this idea and originally reached out to Mason to kind of go along with it, you know, with me, it wasn't, it wasn't supposed to be just like a hobby. It was supposed to be something that like we could grow and grow into a brand and turn into, you know, a job one day. And then Spencer ended up coming on a few episodes and really liking it and getting involved and wanting to be on it full time. And I don't think Spencer also just got into it to be a hobby, because I think all three of us, you know, listen to other platforms and we have other brands that we like. And we played the game, maybe not as at a high of level as some of the brands that we listen to, but we know the game and we've been around it a very long time and we have some very interesting stories and funny stories and we know a lot of interesting and funny people. And the other part of it is all three of us love to golf. You know, we're not very good, but who is? And I think that's a big part of, you know, our identities as athletes and as people. And so we wanted to start merging the two. And so, you know, we took a step back and we thought a rebrand would be best. We thought a rebrand that focused on just our clear intentions of what we want to do and something simple and clean would be best. And you are going to get a lot more interviews and just interesting thoughts and points of view from people in the hockey and golf world. So, you know, we're very excited to bring that to you. I think, you know, Mason and Spencer would be the first to tell you the same. So we have a very cool interview we will be bringing you later this episode with rising YouTube and hockey content creator Mic'd Up Messi. It's going to be an absolutely fantastic interview, so stay tuned for that. But before we get into the interview with Mic'd Up Messi, let's check in with the boys and then we'll give a quick update on the Stanley Cup playoffs and our round one picks and who we have in the second round. Spencer, you are running on fumes.
I am. I had two men's league games last night.
Well, what time was the second one?
11:05.
Fuck you.
So I played at 7:55, 9:10, went home, laid down for 30 minutes, and then went and played at 11:05 to 12:30, came home, and fell asleep on the couch.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. So the only time I ever did that was when I play in a Wednesday night A-League roller hockey, and I have a funny story about last night. I texted you guys that yesterday, but I used to play in the B League too when I lived right down the street from the rink. So I'd play AB because the game times were between 7 and 10 and I could get home in 2 minutes. So sometimes if I had the 7 and 10 o'clock game, it wasn't that big of a deal because I would just go home, chill for a little bit, then go back, play my 10 o'clock game. It didn't matter. Now that I live so far away, I only play in one league and I don't even have to play sometimes because our team is such a shit show. We had to forfeit our playoff game last night because we could not find a goalie.
That's scrubby. How do you find that out when you got to the rink?
That's Texas beer league for you.
Yeah, it's a finding goalies is always a problem. I don't know if it's just a beer league.
So hard.
Just a beer.
They offer them for free and they still don't show up.
Yeah. So we have a really good free. Yeah, we have a really good goalie. He just lives an hour and a half away because he just has a lease that he can't get out of until a little while. And that's an hour and a half or like an hour and five without traffic. So with Texas traffic coming through DFW, it last night he texted us his GPA when he got to the house to get his gear after work because he didn't have it on him. It was like it was like almost 2 hours. So his ETA was like 35 minutes after the start of our game time. We literally
texted. Well, that doesn't work.
Exactly. We literally texted five goalies, and they all could not do it. So there
you
go.
Did you just grab a goalie from the game before?
No, because we were the first game, and there's only one game after us. So one of the guys in our group chat was like, "We'll just grab a goalie when we get there," and we're all like, "There's nobody there when we get there. It's not an option." So, yeah, Spencer, just if you nod off, we'll throw something at you metaphorically, and then we'll be good. But let's check in with Christopher Peterson Mason. What's going on, buddy? How's Florida?
My first question is, why didn't you strap the pads on and take one for the team?
Fuck that.
Dude, have you ever tried to play goalie?
You'd be a good goalie, Sawyer. You're crazy.
I have one time for fun when I was like a teenager, and I couldn't even shut the glove. It was
it's
so hard.
So hard. I tried. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe like
you
five,
have to break them in.
This I Mason, this glove lost. Was broken in. I used our goalie's glove, and it was broken in, and I still could not shut the thing. It was ridiculously wild.
I want two gloves.
You hadn't trained your hand muscles.
I couldn't comprehend the turnover of the blocker, so I was trying to grab everything. So I was like, just give me two gloves, and let me be like a grab.
I'd be a much better goalie if I just had two gloves like a grab.
I'd be sick. I just catch everything. Fuck a blocker.
I think that's a lot of people's – that's a lot of people's like first instinct because a lot of us grow up playing like baseball and stuff too. So you're used to having two hands you can grab with. And when you play hockey and you have to hold that stick down.
Speaking of pinching, using your sticks, all that stuff. We'll get into Florida, Boston. That's a good transition, but real quick, I do have to point out, yeah, Spencer, you're wearing the shirt, but here's the thing. Spencer and I both went 7-1 in the first.
He'll go Boston all the time, and now he's.
Yeah, so we'll get to it. Spencer and I both went 7-1 in the first round. Mason went 6-2, but Mason, you're a dummy, and you picked Washington. So that was your problem.
It was the one in a million chance, like them literally making the playoffs. So I was like, lightning can strike twice.
Spencer, you're dumb because Toronto was out in the first round, and you picked them to win the cup.
Yeah, but then when I came back with, it's fine.
And then I'm dumb because Jesse Pollock and the Winnipeg Jets bent me over. So thanks for that, Jesse Pollock. Just a terrible showing from Winnipeg. But nonetheless, let's get into Florida Boston last night. I don't know if you two watched this game. The series is now tied 1-1, and game two was unreal. 148 total penalty minutes, 125 total hits, 12 total game misconducts between the two teams. I don't think anybody saw Pasta and Tkachuk dropping and squaring up at center ice. That was wild.
I love how he went to the bench and looked at him and was like, what'd he say to you? He was like, he asked me to go. Are you going to do it? He goes, I kind of want to do it.
If you watched that, there were so few players on both benches that every time the camera would go to the bench, you could see the interactions clear as day. Pasta goes back to the bench. The camera shows it. The camera shows Tkachuk change. Tkachuk looks across the bench and kind of smiles at him and like nods his head and says, do you want to go? Like you can see the words. Do you want to go? Pasta. Then the camera pans to Pasta. Pasta shakes his head. Yes. Then turns to Montgomery and literally asks Montgomery, can I fight him? You can see Montgomery kind of like look confused and you can see Montgomery's lips, his mouth. You can see him go, who? Like he asked him, who are you talking about? And Pasta goes, Tkachuk. Like, and then you can see Pasta is kind of saying, he's talking shit, I want to fight him. And Montgomery kind of doesn't, you can't really tell if he said yes, but he kind of like was like, okay. And then literally next change, they're going. And it was Kachuk's a much better fighter. He's not really a fighter.
So this is on the heel credit of Pasta getting called out after
games credit to Pasta
in Toronto.
Yeah. Now,
what I'm blanking on the Boston coach's name right now.
Jim Montgomery.
Montgomery calls him out in the press saying, "We need more from Pasta." What does he do? He scores the OT winner against Game 7, and then he goes out and he fights Kachuk. He lost. We'll say that. But that doesn't matter.
He didn't need to win. He did not need to win.
He won. He dropped those gloves. That locker room is going to be so tight now. I still have Florida in that series, but
I've got a new take on that.
And I think too with the fight, it was strategic because they saw everyone was just getting tossed for everything like that. So that's two superstar players fighting each other. They weren't going to go full out. And if they did, they're not guys that are just going to destroy each other.
Chuck went
off. They go out. They have a little. Well, I know they're still good enough, but they go out. They have a little tussle. They get tossed from the game, and then they're spared from all the bullshit that happened for the next 8 minutes of playing time. So it gets your star player off the ice for a game that was already over, and they get to start resting up for the next one.
My only question out of all this, out of all 12 game misconducts, is how does Montour not get a game misconduct for celebrating right the fuck in front of Marchand's face like that and screaming in his face?
Mocking him with his tongue.
The league, dude, the league is determined. He literally,
when Marchand went to get in his face, he looked Marchand. They were nose to nose about to kiss, and Montour just screamed in his face. I was amazed he did not get a misconduct for that either. And you could tell every time he was lined up near the Florida bench on that side of the ice, or near the Boston bench on that side of the ice, they were just giving it to him. Here's my takeaway. It's going to be a fun series, but I think that game was very telling. Florida beat their ass in a much different way than Boston beat their ass the first game. It was more physical. It was more dominating. Yeah, the morale for the Pasta doing that was cool. But Kachuk also got what he wanted.
It just goes 7 games instead of 5.
So here's, I think Florida, and here's my crazy take. I think Florida takes it in 6 because now I think Jim Montgomery is a fantastic coach. I loved him in Dallas. I was disappointed when that whole thing went down. But now I think he's going to do his thing where he doesn't know which goalie to start. And I think they're going to flip-flop goalies now. And I think Florida has control.
I would start Ullmark, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I think I would let Swayman ride it out. I think I really would.
I think if you switch all season, this is your time to say, okay, now we can switch. Everybody just saw – if you had switched it after a win, you're stupid. In the playoffs, you ride a hot goalie. He's not a hot goalie right after last night.
True. I think based on that game, I think Florida and the mind games, I think Florida is in full control of this series now. But we'll move on from that. Carolina, New York. New York is an absolute wagon. Igor Shesterkin is unbelievable. He is on an absolute heater. And we all know when a goalie gets on a heater like he is on in the playoffs, and as good of a team as the New York Rangers are and how deep and stacked they are, that is a problem. That is a big problem. They are, all three of us look like pigeons for just taking the Canes, just flat out taking the Canes. We'll see. The Canes have a knack for coming back, being down multiple goals in multiple games to the Islanders and kind of making quick work of them in that series. But the New York Rangers just look, I don't even know if we need to stay too. Mason, we'll get a quick breakdown from you real fast on the New York Rangers, what you think of New York, but there's not much to be said. They're just an absolute wagon.
Yeah, I mean, that game was really, really good between them and Carolina. I think Carolina they didn't look that exposed against the Islanders, even though they did have to come back, but I feel like they looked a little bit more exposed by the Rangers. And now I think it's going to be definitely a much harder hill to climb. So definitely scared about my pick.
I think all three of us are. Dallas, Colorado. Game 2 is tonight. It is a must win for the Dallas Stars. And I have changed my take from originally saying, I'm on record as saying, because we were down 0-2 to Vegas, losing at having home ice advantage and winning that series, that I was not scared. And I knew Colorado would come out to a hot start. I didn't think that what would happen after being up 3 would happen, but I knew Colorado would come out to a hot start. I was on record as saying if we went down 0-2, I would not be worried. I'm worried. This is a must win tonight. You cannot go down 0-2 to this team. You really should have two goal lead is not the worst lead in hockey anymore. It is a 3-0 hockey game. If it's a 3-0 hockey game in the first, I feel like that's the worst possible lead you can have. And I knew it was a possibility they would blow that lead when at the very end of the first period, Jamie Benn had that opportunity on the power play to make it 4-0 to go into the locker room, and Josh and Manson robbed him on the doorstep and kept the puck out. Going in, so that's momentum for Colorado. Going, holy shit, there's a bounce that went our way. We haven't gotten anything all period. They kill the penalty. They go into the locker room with the momentum. Whereas you put that puck in, they're going to the locker room saying, fuck, 4-0. Nothing's going our way. It's a completely different story. So I just saw it coming from a mile away. Tonight is a must win. That OT win made me want to rage more than Ben Stiller in Mystery Men. No rage really taking over. I mean, it was just so infuriating when that happened. I am on record of saying this, and I still firmly believe this, even with New York. I think the winner of this series wins the Stanley Cup. I think whoever gets out of this series, it's meant to be from that point on. Okay, well, why? Real quick, Spencer. Okay, you think Florida. Okay, shut up. I'm just going to let you stick your chest out for the Florida and we'll move on.
It looks like the Panthers jumping onto his.
Yeah, right. So Vancouver, Edmonton, game one last night is very similar to Dallas game one. Edmonton jumped on them absolutely early. It looked like the Vancouver mayor was going to be eating his words and pulling up a flag of the Edmonton Oilers. And it just didn't go out that way. They came out really hot, but Vancouver came back and they took the lead and they took the win. And that game was so similar to the Dallas Colorado game in the fact that Tocchet and Bednar completely outcoached Knobloch and DeBoer after those first periods. If you're up 3-0 with momentum shifting the other way going into the locker room for the second period, you have to make adjustments. You can't play the same game because you know the fucking Colorado Avalanche are going to come out with adjustments. Same for the Edmonton Oilers and the Vancouver Canucks. I think Tocchet just made more adjustments than Knobloch could keep up with, or maybe it was just stubbornness from both games. But I think it was coaching, and I think that's what's going to come down to both these series at the end of it. Spencer, we'll get your take on what you think is going to be the X factor in both the Dallas Colorado series and the Edmonton Vancouver series.
I think it's all going to come down to goal. I mean, Dallas Colorado. I think Dallas is just beat up. I think that the series against Vegas, that's a Western Conference final series. That's not a first round series that you want to go through. So I think they're just beat up. I think Colorado might just run them out. I think we're looking at 6 games. I think if Ottinger can just absolutely stand on his head, you guys might be able to squeak it out. But Colorado right now, I mean,
I'll squeak you out.
Watching McKinnon wind up with the puck through his own zone, I don't understand how anybody can stop that absolute stallion just galloping down the ice. It's absolutely absurd what those guys are doing. And watching Makar just snap pucks into the net. Colorado's good, but Gorgiev isn't. So we're going to see what happens there. Same thing kind of with Vancouver and Edmonton. I think you look at the on paper, Vancouver's probably a little deeper than Edmonton is, top to bottom, but I think top-end talent probably goes to Edmonton. Can McDavid and Draisaitl get them through the series? We'll have to see who's going to play in net the entire series for Vancouver. We're going to have to see that too.
Mason, man of many few words, what do you think? What do you think the X factor for the Edmonton and Vancouver series is?
I think what Spencer just said at the end, I think if Vancouver does get their goalie back, I think they'll do much better. I think that's kind of the big issue right there for them. I think Edmonton's going to score. It's just, can you keep the floodgates from fully opening and just having the game get out of hand where they just run away with it? And Vancouver was able to do that last night. But will they be able to keep doing that on a night-to-night basis without their starting goaltender?
They can't let their power play on the ice. If they let Edmonton's power play on the ice, this is good. I mean, look what Edmonton did to LA. They literally just dismantled them on the power play.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Those are good keys. So I had Florida in the series. I had Carolina. We all had Carolina look like pigeons on that. I had Dallas, and I had Edmonton. Spencer, you had Edmonton. You had Colorado. You had Carolina. You had Florida. Mason, I always forget. Who did you have?
Vancouver.
Yeah, you had the Avs, Vancouver, Boston, and Carolina. Of course, you just threw in another wrench. Yeah, so
what's the wrench?
Boston, I guess. I don't know.
How is Boston a wrench?
Yeah, I guess. You're right. So, but Mason's picks are wildly different at the Avs, Vancouver, Boston, and Carolina. So there you go.
I think my wrench was Vancouver since y'all both been Edmonton.
Yeah, okay. Well, there was our first round fuck ups and our second round picks. And now we're going to kick it over to Mic'd Up Messy, and we will catch you on the flip side. And now we welcome on a very special guest. In 1993, he popped his head out in Alexandria, Louisiana. He spent 4 years of junior hockey packing his suitcase from the Great Lakes to Minnesota, then to the infamous Dub S or WSHL. Some would say the best goalie Dallas Baptist University has ever seen. Former Dallas Stars E-Bug and rostered ECHL Tendy. You can catch him these days dropping some great goalie content on YouTube and TikTok. Please welcome to the Fairway Forechecks podcast, Mic'd Up Messy, Josh Messick. Messick, how are we doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. I'm really excited and really looking forward to this.
You're damn right it's an honor to be here. You're damn right. Well, we're pumped to have you. Spencer is also a former WSHL alumni.
Here league. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
So you guys got to venture that league.
Yeah. Or, as I like to call it, the We Suck Hockey League.
I think either one works. But you know, Messick, let's just get right into this. So you know, first thing I want to ask you is, how did we go from being born in Louisiana to playing junior hockey in the Great Lakes and the Minnesota leagues? Like, where is Alexandria in Louisiana? Like, where the hell is even that? How did you get from there to there?
So honestly, it's kind of weird. I started out in roller hockey, actually. My sister dated a guy that played roller hockey. And I went to one of his games and saw him skating around, thought it looked like a blast. And I'm 6 years old at the time. And so, of course, I wanted to play. And so I started playing roller. And we lived in Lafayette, Louisiana, which is not far away from Alexandria. But we lived there in the Louisiana Ice Gators. I'm not sure if you know them. They used to play there. But it was the year they won the Kelly Cup was the year that I lived there. And so we went to all the playoff games. We got to witness the Kelly Cup celebration, all of that. It was super awesome. But fell in love with the game from there. And that's kind of how it all started. First ice hockey game, I took a look at the goalie pads, fell in love with them. And always wanted to be a goalie since then.
So how did you get to the Great Lakes Junior League? Where did you get scouted from? Where did you get pulled from? How did that work?
So I went to a showcase in Chicago, and they saw me there and they drafted me. So the Great Lakes League, I actually didn't play in that league at all. I just got drafted. And I think my elite prospect says I was on the team, but I wasn't really on the team. I just got drafted there. So, never played, never went to training camp.
Is that when you moved to the Minnesota League?
Yeah.
Cause you did have some games in that league. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
A couple.
He had a cup of tea. Yeah. So then you went from there to the infamous WSHL, the Dub S, the Weissgate Here League, the We Suck Hockey League. It's got so many different names. What was that experience like? And do you have any kind of crazy stories from your time spent in that league?
So honestly, I liked playing for that team. I liked playing in that league. I felt like
what team was it?
The Ice Jets. We were unbelievably good.
I played 18U AAA for the Ice Jets.
Yeah. So I mean, we won my first game. We won 14-0. My first three starts, I got shutouts. So it was kind of nice playing for that team for sure. But the problem that we ran into is we had three guys and they all had the same stats. So it's one of those, you keep the hot goalie in, and at the time I wasn't the guy that they went to. So didn't get a ton of playing time there, but honestly loved playing for the team. And I'm from Dallas, so playing for the Dallas Ice Jets was nice to be home for a year after being away from juniors.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I played AAA for that organization. It was a really good organization to play for.
Yeah. So then from there, you kind of, it sounds like you kind of jumped into playing for the Allen Americans and kind of backing up there a little bit and jumping in for some e-bug situations. So kind of how does that all go about from going from the WS? I think you played in the ACHA a little bit. And I mean, it's not too often that you jump from the ACHA up to any of those leagues, let alone still be playing.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it was just being in the right place at the right time. The emergency backup position with Dallas, the only reason why I got that is because there was a salary cap issue, and they needed an emergency guy. But they couldn't have somebody that was a professional. They needed somebody that was still amateur status. So because I just graduated from college, they reached out to our coach and was like, hey, would your goalie be interested in doing this? So it was kind of like right place, the right time. I knew the right person. And yeah, kind of history wrote itself there. Got to do.
So what does that actually for a year entail? And,
unbelievable experience.
Yeah. I have a question about that. So Spencer wants to know what is that like? What's the process for like that? But I have a question too. When you get to it,
yeah.
Was there ever a time when you were like, because you go to the game and you sit in the stands, right? And you basically get a free ticket to the game. Was there ever a time in that year where you were like, holy shit, I might need to go get my gear out of the car? Like I could be fucking going in an NHL game, and I was like, in jeans at noon today. What is that like?
One time.
Which time?
So it was against St. Louis, and it was like 5 minutes left, and Jake Allen had hit his head on the crossbar, and he went down. And so concussion protocol, he's got to come off the ice, take a concussion test or whatever before he can go back out. Well, I got a text message from the assistant GM of the Stars saying, hey, go get ready. And I'm panicking, like, what do I do? Where do I go? And so I just went right down the locker room. People are giving me weird looks because here's this 5'6" kid coming with this staff all access badge and a hoodie and sweatpants trying to get down in the locker room saying, I got to get dressed. I got to go out there.
St. Louis so, needs me.
Yeah. So I got some weird looks from security for sure. So it was only one time that I ever got to do that. But for the most part, it was really just being a fan and not being allowed to drink.
So back to Spencer's question, what is that like? So you said you get an all access badge. Is it decent seats? So you said you can't drink, but can you pound a throat missile? You know, can you have a hot dog?
The hot dog was my question. Damn it, Sawyer.
Yeah,
what was that, Mason?
The hot dog was going to be my question.
How many throat missiles can you pound while you're in the stands? What's the process?
So you can. There was no rules against food. It was more just alcohol, right? Because if I was to go in the game, right, they obviously don't want somebody impaired going into an NHL hockey game.
Make for a great movie, but sure.
Yeah, it might make for some good entertainment, maybe some good TV ratings. It was really just rules against drinking. But honestly, I'm sorry.
Some delivery. What do you got? What's getting delivered?
I don't know. Do we want to find out?
I mean, kind of. What is it?
I don't know.
This just turned into an unboxing video.
It's a stripper.
It's some solicitor dude.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he can stay there.
He can.
They're recruiting you for the
actually
Utah
go back. Does he want to come on the pod? Does he have?
Are they wearing white shirt like suits and like helmets? Because they might be there recruiting for the Utah hockey team.
No, it looks like just like a roofer guy. There's
Eba.
There's been hail out here recently.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No, you're good. You're good. So basically, you can't be drunk.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't really drink. You can't really be impaired. You have to be there at a certain time. I had to get my car checked by a bomb sniffing dog before. Sorry, give me one second.
Oh, I know your dog. He's dog? If you don't go get him, he's not going to stop. So while Messick's doing that, I know his dog because I know Messick personally. We play on a semi-professional team here in Texas together. We've been playing on it together for probably 4 or 5 years now. So I've known Messick for quite some time. So I know all about Ratty. Ratty is a savage. So
for like you said, you were able to do the emergency backup because you were like on an amateur situation because of the having graduated college. Mm-hmm. But if you were to stay on more long term, if they needed you to do it multiple years, would you end up having to sign some sort of contract? Or
so as I
like, would you lose that status?
I still had to sign something. It wasn't necessarily a contract, but.
Right.
Basically, what it was is more like a waiver, I guess you could say.
Just in case you got
hurt. But it was more of a liability on their part, right? Because if I was to dress out, then they have to pay me, right? So if I don't dress out, which is the likely case, then they don't have to pay me. So it allows them to have an amateur on there as a emergency backup position that they don't have to pay, and they don't have to have a contract for that kind of stuff. So it wasn't like an official contract, but yes, if it was a more permanent position, I would have had to sign something. They would have had to.
So did you get dressed? Did you put on the pads ever, or you just got down to the locker room and then they didn't really need you, end up meeting you?
Yeah, so it was that one. We just got down to the locker room and they
Shit.
So basically, what happened is I went down to the tunnel. Security drove me to my car. I grabbed my gear out of the back of my car. I came to the locker room, got my bag off the cart, and they said, "Oh, Alan,
did they at least like make you a jersey?
We don't need you." So,
that's terrible.
No, not even that, man.
Yeah. And I find it interesting that when you're an emergency backup goalie for the Stars, you're the emergency backup goalie for the whatever road team is also in the building that night, which is what happened to David Ayers. He was a Toronto local and ended up winning that game for Carolina and becoming becoming an overnight sensation. So I think it's interesting that your one opportunity to go in, you were going to be playing against your like hometown team and like play. So that's funny. So I one quick question before I tell a funny story about you and get your opinion on something.
All right.
For kids out there considering club hockey, especially a goalie who might be considering club hockey and he's weighing his options, you know what I mean? You had a pretty interesting route. Like Spencer said, you don't see – I think Spencer and Mason and I, our freshman year, there was a kid for Florida Gulf Coast who signed an AHL two-way contract, and that was like – it was completely unheard of. Mm-hmm. So even getting rostered like you have for an ECHL team and getting the opportunity to almost dress for the St. Louis Blues in an NHL game, for a goalie especially, someone who's considering club hockey, maybe leaning like, I don't really know, why was that the right path for you? And why should kids nowadays consider it to be a very viable option to get to the pro level? Because we see a ton of kids on pro rosters, whether it's the Fed, the SP, or even the EC that have come from the ACHA. So why was that the right path for you? And why is it a viable option for kids these days?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So the most important thing in my opinion is playing. So my junior career, as you saw, I didn't get much playing time and it didn't help me in my career, right? They were all developmental years, right? They were going to develop me into the goalie that, I am today, whatever, blah, blah, blah. That was a load of malarkey in my opinion. Basically, if the playing time is the most important, right? So there's so many more ACHA college programs out there than there are NCAA Division I, NCAA Division III programs out there, right? And yeah, you might even be able to get on a D1 or a D3 program, but are you going to sit for 2 years, 3 years? Is that really going to help your development? Honestly, what helped me the most was the fact that I was able to fall in love with the game again, because juniors made me hate the game. I'm going to be honest. I didn't play. I didn't get opportunity. I didn't like the game. But coming back into college and being able to play, And yeah, not at the highest level, but it's still a decent level, right? And I mean, some of these guys in the ACHA.
I think Spencer knows exactly how you feel.
Yeah.
I think Spencer went through a very similar situation with his college playing career. So.
Well, yeah. And it's like, if you don't love the game, then pursuing pro is going to be disappointing for you. Because pro is a completely different world. The hockey turns into a job. And if you're not passionate about it, it's going to be like any other job. You're going to hate it.
True. So, would your biggest advice for a parent who has a kid that is in youth hockey right now, would your biggest advice, and what we see a lot of times is parents are only concerned about winning, even when their kid is 10 years old. I want to get my kid on the team that in the Metroplex or the area that wins the most games every year because he's gonna be a winner. Right. But that kid is most likely not going to get the playing time that he would on a team that's not winning that many games. So, if it's your kid, you played at a high level, you were rostered on an ECHL team last year. Do wins or losses matter when you're 10 or 12? And what is more important, winning games or actually playing the game of hockey when you're that age?
I mean, when you're 10 or 12, win or lost, in my opinion, doesn't matter. Right. In my opinion, right, I'd rather my kid play for the worst team, especially if he's a goalie, right? Because he's going to get put in situations that he's not going to get put in on the better team, right? Where he might be able to develop skills that will allow you to battle right for the save. So as a goalie, I honestly would prefer you to be on maybe a little bit less better of a team. But yeah, the wins, loss, it doesn't really matter. All that matters is getting out there and playing the game, right? And knowing what the rules are, knowing what's right and what's wrong, how to hit, how to take a hit, how to receive a hit, all those kinds of things I feel like are starting to get lost. I wouldn't say completely, but they're definitely starting to get lost in today's youth because there's a lot going on with the youth hockey program that I don't want to get into all that, but
No, I completely agree with you. So I have a couple funny stories for the boys. And then a couple questions for you. So funny story for Spencer and Mason here. Josh was supposed to go golfing with us one day and we're at the first tee. Yeah. Josh is not there. we had got called to the first tee maybe 10 minutes early. So it was like one of those, but we're at the first tee. Josh is still texting us running late. One of those things, right? So it's now our tee time. Josh is still not there. One of us tees off. Josh calls me. So I pick up and he goes, "Hey, I'm here." And this is the most goalie thing in the world. He goes, "Hey, I'm here." And I said, "Okay." And he goes, "What do I do?" And I said, "You get the fuck out of your car and go check in at the clubhouse and get a cart and come down to the first tee box." And he goes, "Okay." And then as I'm going to hang up the phone, he goes, "Hey, hang on." And I go, "What?" And he goes, "Where's the clubhouse?" And I go, "You're fucking looking at it. You're looking at it. Walk into the clubhouse and fucking get a cart and come down and meet us."
There was two buildings.
It was nice. Okay. Well, you can try to argue that all you want, but that's a funny story I have about Josh. Now, a question for Josh. I've got some insider information, and I've never noticed this about you in the locker room, but now I'm concerned.
Okay.
And I think everybody else on this podcast is going to be concerned when they hear this, and Lucy has some explaining to do.
Okay.
A wise pigeon once told me that you don't have shower beers with the boys after practice and games. True or false?
Okay, so kind of both.
True or false, sir?
Kind of both. So
the sky told us what we needed.
I'm gonna say technically true, because most of the time I don't shower at the rink. I'm a kind of germaphobe type person. I've had problems with my feet.
Okay,
I don't like showering.
I will
at the
defend
rink.
That because
yeah, you're a goalie.
Most times I won't shower at the rink.
Absolutely disgusting. Still, there are things growing. In
yeah, you bring some shoes.
Yeah, so
even you can wear shoes and you'll still get out.
So it's like I won't shower at the rink, but I definitely have a beer with the boys if offered to me, and I don't have to be somewhere, right? If you know it's a 10:30 at night game and we're getting done, it's 11:45. I got to be up for work in the morning. I'm probably not going to have a beer. I'm probably going to get my gear out and go. But if it's like 8:30, right, on a Sunday, hell yeah, I'll have a beer.
All right. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I wanted to, wanted to get your explanation. Wanted to put your feet to the fire on that one. Mason, Spencer, do you guys have anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I got two questions. It's a two-parter, I guess. So, I mean, as Sin said, you're still playing for the Barracudas. So I'm just curious as, like, what your drive is to still play. Obviously, that's still, like, competitive hockey. You're not playing beer league. You're not doing anything like that. So I'm curious about that. And then, obviously, Mason and I played with Stinch. So how often in the 4 or 5 years that you've played with him, have you looked at him and go, what in the hell are you thinking?
Yeah.
Well, Messi does play beer league. Yeah. His channel is a lot of his videos are from his beer from beer league. So I'll give him that one.
Yeah. Most of my stuff is beer league. But I do film our practices. And then also kind of sorry about my background here. I know like I'm in my closet.
No, I love it. Give us a little fashion tour. What do you?
My Wi-Fi is right here. And so that's the best way that I have terrible signal throughout the house. So, but yeah, to answer your question, the reason why I keep playing is primarily my favorite thing in the world is to stop the puck. I absolutely love doing it, and I like being challenged to do it. If I could, I would play at a lot higher level, but most people don't really give me the opportunity. I'm hoping that maybe somebody will give me an opportunity, but if not, then hey, I'm going to take what I can get and I'm going to keep love doing it or I'm going to keep loving doing it. So, that's really my whole motivation.
Like Joe Dirt said, keep on keeping on, brother.
Exactly. My whole motivation is just cause I love the sport so much. That's really it. I would play even if it like, I always tell myself I'm going to keep playing until I can't walk. And as soon as I can't walk, I'm going to learn how to play sled hockey.
Yeah. So. I'm the same. I'm the same.
Yeah.
How often same. Do you,
but yeah, what was that other part to your question?
Say, what in the hell is going on in your head right now?
Quite a bit, actually. There was one time, it's actually in one of my reels. I think I collaborated with you on it. He snuck up behind me in practice and he was standing there for like 30, 45 seconds before I even noticed him. And he just goes, I could have killed you. And I'm like, yeah, you could have.
Like, I could have slit your throat. You would have never known until it was too late. Nope. You got to be on your head on a swivel, bud.
Never know.
Head on a swivel.
Yeah, you never know what Stinch is going to do out there on the ice. But I will tell you this, 9 times
I'll
out of 10, it makes you
I'll
laugh.
Give him that.
I'll tell you that.
I've got around
as long as we have.
Yeah, I the boys have been around it. I like to think I have an entertaining streak in me. Mason, man of many few words, do you have anything else for Messi?
I can't think of any other questions.
Oh yeah, you can't think of any other questions.
I do want to tell him a story about you though.
Okay, let's hear it.
So when we were playing college hockey, we went on a trip to San Diego. And after our games, our team decided we were going to have some drinks, have a good night, enjoy San Diego before we had to fly back in a couple of days. And Sawyer was so excited because we were getting fast food. What was it? It was the taco place.
Del Taco.
Oh my gosh.
Del Taco. Spencer loves Del Taco.
He was so excited. He was sitting in the hotel room waiting for us to get back with the Del Taco. And he is so excited that he literally runs into the hotel door and concusses himself. And with tacos in hand, like taco shells shatter in his hand while he just...
Yeah, I fucked myself up. I was hammered. No, I fucked myself up on that door. So it was cartoonish the way I hit that door. It was almost like, you remember the Jackass skit when they do the hand around the wall and it like smacks the giant hand and it like smacks him and like sends him flying.
Yeah.
It was like that because I thought the door was a push in door from the outside, not a pull door from the outside. I was hammered again. And I went like I went running full speed, not even with my shoulder. If I went shoulder first, I might have been okay. But I went like just thinking the door was going to open with my pelvis, and I just dummied myself and then was laying there with a concussion, tacos, taco meat all over, just everywhere, all over me. Then it was closed, so there was no more Del Taco. I spilled all my food, so I had no clue where you're going. I didn't remember that till you brought that up. Mason, I did dummy myself.
That's one of my favorite stories.
Yeah, Messick's seen his fair share. All right, well, if we don't have anything else, Josh, we can't thank you enough for coming on. Now, make sure to go give Mic'd Up Messy a follow if you haven't already, because he's absolutely killing it. He does great stuff on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. His reels are hilariously funny. So go make sure to go follow Mic'd Up Messy if you don't already. But other than that, Josh, we can't thank you enough for coming on, giving us your time. So thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great weekend.
Hell yeah, man. I appreciate it. Sorry we had that little bit of connection issues and my dog barking and all that. But hey, you know what? That's how it goes sometimes. But I appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks for coming on.
And
all right, good, buddy. Love you too.
All right, peace.
We're all good. Later, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Then there were three. Okay, let's finish this up. Wrap this up real quick.
Okay, bye.
So what do we think of Utah? Wait, so first of all, thank you for Josh for coming on. That was a fantastic interview. I think we got some pretty cool answers, to our questions, and we got to see I've never really heard an interview with an e-bug before. So I didn't know the process. I didn't know you could eat hot dogs, but you couldn't drink. So thank you for Josh for coming on. That was very, very cool. Very awesome of him. So fantastic interview. Again, thank you for Josh. But let's move on real quick. Last thing before we end this, what is Utah? What are they going with? What are we going to be named? So they're going with just Utah across the front of their jerseys, but are their uniforms going to be the color of the team? What's going on?
It should be.
Yeah, I think we'll at least see team colors. Maybe we see a team name, and maybe they just use next season to pick the jerseys. I could kind of see that happening, so they're not rushed into this whole process.
I'm confused. Like, what jerseys would they wear otherwise? Just all white and all black jerseys? You have to have a uniform.
That's what I mean. So I think we'll see team colors, and then you're just going to see Utah.
But the uniform, it will be a basic uniform with like trim of their actual team colors, just with Utah on it. Okay, that makes more sense.
Eventually, they'll launch the real jersey with their logo and all kind. I mean, very similar into what the women's league is doing right now.
Sure,
you got a very jersey with the city names, and eventually they're going to kind of ramp it up, get the team names, and do all that. So I think it's going to be kind of very similar to that.
Sure.
But as far as naming goes, I still think Yeti.
It's got to be the one, right, Mason?
I don't see any reason as to why. I haven't really. So the other one that I heard that kind of I liked was Mammoth, but the Colorado lacrosse team is Mammoth, so I think that might be too close regionally. The other one I kind of like was Outlaws and Swarm. So
Blizzard. I don't mind Blizzard. I really
that's
don't.
Too close to Is that too, that,
I think that's too close to Avalanche.
It's two natural disasters on the opposite sides of the mountain.
It's kind of cool, to be honest with you. The Blizzard versus the Avalanche. Cool. That's kind of a badass regional rivalry.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's going to be a cool rivalry regardless of their name.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. For sure. But I mean, that to me, that would just be. But I think the name we all want. Give it to the people. It's provocative. It gets us going. Is the Yeti. Yeah, the Yeti. Well, boys, do we have anything else?
No,
I don't.
Spencer's got to go to bed.
We did talk.
No, you know what? I've got beef.
With who?
And I think I brought this up the other week. The fact that I can't get tea times booked 6 days in advance in a town like Portland, Oregon, is bonkers. Bonkers, I tell you.
You got nothing for this weekend, huh?
There was nothing. I couldn't play. No.
Come move to Florida. There's tea times, but it's 97 degrees here today.
Yeah,
No, I don't want. I don't.
It's 90 here. It was 90 here today. It's getting hot.
So I'm gonna hit the range and see if I can do a little chippy chip action and maybe some putty putt action. But yeah, I'm not playing this weekend.
So there's Spencer's Grind My Gears, public golf in Oregon once again. I think that's gonna be grind your gears for quite some time, buddy. Unfortunately, I think that's the way of the land. That's
everybody move to Oregon. That's what Spencer's saying.
Yeah. Yeah, so there, so the demand goes up when the demand supply and demand, you know.
Build your own golf course, Spencer.
I'm done.
What, Mason?
I'm moving. I'm over.
Spencer, build your own golf course.
Yeah, build your own golf course. You're rich.
Call it Owl.
Just wanted to say it to see your face.
You ignorant.
All right, well, we'll end it there. We will end it there. That is the Fairway Forechecks podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe if you have not already everywhere you see. If you are already subscribed to the Flow Skate, you're already subscribed to Fairways, baby. So you are in it. We are in it. And we will see you next time. Spencer, hit him with it.
Peace.